Hello, podcast world, and welcome to the Beers with Engineers podcast, where we have a pint of fun and a shot of geek. My name is Bert Ushold. This is episode lucky number 13. Today, my guest is Sherry Dudridge, and you guessed it, I have finally been able to get a woman engineer on as a guest. Since she's from Texas, I thought I might say I was finally able to rope a female engineer, but that would be highly inappropriate. This episode is sponsored by my company, Dexterity Engineering. Today I'm going to give you a very good reason to go to my website, dexterityeng.com. If you click the alt code card link at the top of the page, that will take you to something that is very useful. Alt codes are a way to enter symbols very easily when you are typing, such as diameter or the degree symbol. On the page, you will see a picture of two cards that have the codes for symbols that engineers are likely to use, including Greek letters. You can grab a screenshot for yourself, order some custom ones for your company. Mention this podcast when you order and save 20%. Yippee! All right, back to Sherry and the podcast. Apologies for the production quality being a bit rough. There were some sound issues, and we had to do the interview twice, and what you're about to listen to is a mix of the two. It turned out okay, but a sound editing job is not in my future. We can say that with great confidence. Sherry and I talk about her career in the oil industry, her son who has autism, her favorite movie, The Princess Bride, retirement, and other stuff. One quick correction. Early on, we mentioned a mutual friend, Molly, and contrary to what I said, she is not my goddaughter. Molly's daughter is my goddaughter. So that's it. On to the interview. Good day, everyone. I'd like to introduce you to my guest today, Sherry Dudridge. How are you doing today, Sherry?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I first met Sherry, it was over 30 years ago. And how we know each other... Sorry.
30.
How we know each other is actually is simple in reality, but surprisingly complex to describe. Because it requires a long series of possessive nouns that you have no idea what anyone's talking about when you're done. So, here's what I came up with. Sherry's college roommate was Molly. My roommate as a co-op in college was Doug. Doug and Molly are married. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
So, at this point in our lives, we see each other at weddings, graduations,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You're a godfather.
I am also her godfather. Yep. And I like to say her godmother. I like to call her my godwife. She was supposed to be at the wedding we were at last November, but COVID kept them away. But
was that COVID?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's right.
All right. So back to my introduction. You're messing me up here, Sherry. All right. So I'm going to take this introduction in a slightly different direction than normal. And for the regular listeners, you may have noticed that Sherry is my first female guest. So in my defense, I have asked many different women to be my guest, but I'm kind of feeling like I'm back in high school again. They don't return my calls. Or, in modern times, they don't recall my emails or LinkedIn messages. And the ones that do respond to me are the ones that know me the least instead of the ones that know me the most. So I'm in a very delicate emotional state right here. So the first question I've got for Sherry, is this in fact actually a pity interview that Molly forced you into somehow?
Molly doesn't even know. I was actually going to text her yesterday and say, guess what's happening?
All right, good. So on my own, I've got I'm not sure I can call this a date, but I have my first female guest. Hip, hip, hooray. All right, so at that, so that's a different first question. That was my pre-question, question zero. Question one is, are you having a beer at the moment? And if not, what beer would you like to be having?
Well, I am not having a beer because it's 1 p.m. And when you get to a certain age, that's just too early.
Fair enough.
If I were having a beer, I would not have a beer because I am now unfortunately gluten-free.
And
gluten-free beers taste like cat piss.
Okay.
But if I could drink beer, I am a huge fan of a local Texas beer called Shiner Bock.
I've heard of Shiner Bock. It's based
small town in
outside
Texas called Shiner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very good. And I guess I thought you might say no, but as I know you're getting on a plane in a couple hours, maybe you're planning to
quaff a few while you're on the plane, but whatever. All right, so the next step of this little procedure is, do you have an engineering joke to share
for us? I do. I do. In fact, it was funny that you said that, because when I tell people my engineering jokes, it's generally not very popular. So this is very exciting for me.
All right, let's hear it.
There are three engineers, and they're having a discussion about what kind of engineer God is, because only someone that was an engineer could have made the human body. And the first one said, God's a mechanical engineer. Like, if you look at your joints, they're really good. They're better than the best joint you can design for a robot. And then the second one says, no, God is clearly an electrical engineer. The brain is an amazing computing power, and the nerves, the way it sends information to your body, that's definitely an electrical engineer. And the third one says, no, God is a civil engineer, because only a civil engineer would put a wastewater treatment system next to a playground.
I do like one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
And because I'm a civil, I can say it. If you're not a civil, you might be offensive, but I can say
that's
it.
Right. That's right. All right. I'm not offended.
You do know the other civil engineering joke, which is mechanical engineers build weapons and civil engineers build targets.
Targets, yeah.
Right.
I was also in the Army, so I do know that one.
Okay. That I did not recall, but I do know that you spent a good number of years in the petroleum industry, and those are targets that are kind of high on the list when you get to that targeting thing. All right, so enough of that stuff. Let's kind of, why you're an engineer, a little bit of background, how you became an engineer, anything interesting about that? Or,
well, I went into engineering because I took a test in high school and I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I took one of those tests in high school, and they said, you'd be a great electrical engineer. So I tried to apply to electrical engineering, got accepted in zero programs, but I got accepted in general engineering. In hindsight, it's the best thing ever. This is something I've said to people. You know, you worry about your kids. Should they be taking this AP class? Should they take extra tutoring? What do you do about SAT prep? You do your best for your kids no matter what. I'm not saying stop, but their path will be their path. And we stress so much about it. So I was bummed because I wasn't getting into electrical engineering. And in hindsight, I sucked at any of my electrical courses that I took in the end and at CMU. And I loved civil engineering. It was your path,
so
is
not
your
high
path.
Not high praise for that skills or career assessment test that you took. Hopefully they've improved in the last few years.
It might have been a minute or two that I took that test.
All right. A gentleman will never ask a lady's age.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Even though I know we graduated from college
the same year.
But you could have been a precocious. You could have graduated when you were like 3 or 4 or something. All right. Okay. So your how I became an engineer story, nothing super exciting about it. How did you get into the oil industry?
I was, again, one of those things you fall into. I was at my career center, just as you do back in the old days. You went there and you didn't look at it electronically. You physically went to the career center at college and looked in who was interviewing, and I just signed up for anything that I could qualify for. I did a really great interview with the guy that had come from the oil company I went with, BP. At the time it was Sohio, S-O-H-I-O, Sohio, which was in the process of being purchased by BP the year I joined. And we talked about everything from skiing to classes at school to hardly anything about oil and gas. So I just kind of hit it off personality-wise, got a job offer. It was my best job offer, so I went, having no idea.
Right. Well, I mean, the idea of interviewing, you know, especially when you're just a college graduate, you know,
what can you say?
How much of your technical skills are they going to evaluate? You know, it's okay.
Right.
All right. So here's somebody. She graduated from CMU. Well, that's a pretty good school. I assume she's got a brain between her head, and you know, especially you know, the screening interviews with HR. Well, whatever those are, but you know, when you're interviewing with your boss and then your potential peers and coworkers, it's as much technical as is just, hey, can I work with this person 8 hours a day? You know,
well, I think interviews are terrible. That's a terrible way to judge. I mean, what are they usually, an hour,
right.
hour and a half? And then you go and you interview with someone else and they might have a different set of questions. And I think I see a lot more companies bringing people on as contract. And then when they work out and the full-time position becomes a reality, transitioning them from contract to full-time. I think you get a lot better feel for technical skills or...
Yep. Yeah. I remember, not a direct comparison, but I'll say it anyways. Job I got a few years ago, which I really liked. The offer came and said, here's the offer, yada, yada. And, you know, in the offer was a contingent, you know, 3-month probationary period. I forget exactly what they said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't too stressed about it, but, you know, there's always a tiny little bit of stress. But I would have appreciated if at the end of the 90 days they would have just said, yep, we're keeping you. I guess the fact they didn't get rid of me may have been enough of a sign, but, you know, congratulations, we like you. I don't know, I thought it would have been nice, but...
That really would have been nice. Agreed.
Yeah. All right, so we know how you got into the oil industry. So what is it about the oil industry? You know, people have preconceived notions of the oil industry. What is something that people should know or might not know that would be interesting or useful to them?
Well, it has been an extremely varied career. And there's this preconceived notion that all oil is big and evil and that we're out there just to, you know, be like, oh, pollute the earth because we don't care. And I got most of my environmental master's degree funded by BP. I was encouraged to, you know, think and innovate. They are really encouraging anyone that's interested. They'll send you back to get classes and certifications for environmental work. They are truly invested in doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And as much as anything, it's a great business case for the future.
Let me pause and interrupt for 1 second. How sincere do you feel they are in that? Is it greenwashing or is it legit?
No, it's, you put your money where your mouth is, right? Put your money there, and they do.
Okay.
We would fund. So I was working at a research facility when I was in Chicago, so I don't even want to think about how old that was. Let's see. 20 plus years ago. And so anytime they were having graduate students come in to do interviews, they would also have them present their research. And I would go to some of those just for grins. And
sure.
Again, not an electrical engineer, so I didn't understand everything they said. But if it was someone from a university, from Carnegie Mellon, or a university I knew someone at or was interested in, I'd go and listen. And I can't tell you the amount of times that we were seriously trying to crack the problem with batteries. We were really, really interested in putting money into research 25 years ago, knowing that batteries would eventually become the future.
Right.
Oil is a finite resource. It will end someday. So the business case to truly figure this out is there. And, I mean, they're not dummies that lead these companies. Some of them might be old, but they innovate or die.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So it's where we're putting our money. It's where we're doing it. That's the sexy jobs. And I would help a little bit with interviewing, especially the part when they would come on campuses, our buildings, and meet with prospective folks. We really, really want folks that are interested in, like your nephew, that says, I want someone that has, you know, a lot of green in them, that is mm-hmm. progressive. And we mean it. We want those folks. That's when they interview and say that, we want them.
Okay.
Because good. That is the future. I think it's true.
So if I understood correctly, you were talking about batteries 20, 25 years ago. Have they been working on it since, on and off? What's their...
Yeah, they're working on it.
Still doing it?
Yeah. Okay. I you also realize what you're going to crack and what you just want to fund. So sometimes we're funding them, and sometimes we're putting our own
Your own research.
research money in. Petroleum has byproducts. Petroleum byproducts are used in a lot of things. Figuring out how to recycle is something we have had huge amounts
Oh, yeah.
of money put in, because if we could crack that and get true recycling for plastics, it would make a big difference. So we've put our money in there. They have some patented, now they just have to scale it up. That's always the problem. They have some great researchers. I worked with some of them.
The thought, so I guess my number one skill on my resume might be plastic part design. So I've designed a lot of plastic parts, and there's a lot of plastic parts running around this world that have my virtual fingerprint on them. And the idea of recycling is, I love the idea of it, and we put the stuff in our curb, and I think a lot of it just gets thrown away anyways. And what is recycled often costs more for poor quality. And I think, all right, there's got to be some way. And I keep thinking, on and off, is there some way I can just get, a mixed plastic, so I don't have to sort them? And can I somehow form them into something where strength is not super critical? Like, I don't know, telephone poles or, something where there's big volume, but not necessarily even, super strength. And actually, my most recent idea is, making some sort of construction, 2x4s, or maybe got to go bigger than that and whatever. And what the company would do, so they mix all this stuff together, that extrude, 2 miles of 2x4s, and then they test them and say, all right, okay, so this batch, it's, on a scale of 1 to 100, it scores a 98. And so when you're buying it, all right, so this is a 98, I can use this for this project. And tomorrow's batch, because you got a different lot of stuff, all right, it only scored a 77. Okay, so I can use 77, and I have to have more of them,
Oh,
or
I see what you're
different
saying.
situations. So I don't know, maybe that's crazy, but
No.
the idea of getting something where the cleaning, the sorting, I guess especially the sorting, cleaning is probably not too difficult to rearrange, but anyway, so that's my 2 cents on plastics and recycling.
Well, I mean, they're having the same problem with recycling, computer parts because of the heavy metals. And they're
Oh,
figuring that
geez.
out. They take those, I mean, BP takes all of our laptops, and it's a safer way to actually wipe the information off them too. And they go into these big recycling vats off-site, but we invest in these companies to help do that. And then, they use density to get the metals to float, so or sink. And
Yeah, that's recycling and reusing stuff is an interesting thing.
well, I found your podcasts,
Right.
and I have listened to quite a few
Oh,
now.
good. Which one do you like? Just to for, I don't know, for fun.
Honestly, the first one was fun.
Oh, with Joe?
They've grown.
Okay,
Yeah.
all right.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
It was fun when doing it. It I wasn't thrilled with the quality of it when I was doing it. But then when
Oh.
I listened to it, I thought it was much better.
It was great.
And then,
Yeah.
I asked people for feedback, and engineers are used to giving honest feedback, and I got honest feedback from my engineering friends, and they said it sounded too stilted, too much like an interview and less like a conversation. And so that's what I've been trying to work towards, more of a conversational, we're literally having some beers instead of, we've got cameras in the background, and see, Howard
Oh,
Henry Huesner
yeah.
from 60 Minutes grilling you. Why are you an engineer? What did you
Well,
learn? What did you
I
learn?
haven't listened to your last I haven't listened to the last three, so
Okay.
I'll let you know if I thought they were less
All
stilted.
right. Very good. Appreciate it. All right. So one of the things I'm trying to do is, and this is funny because I'm planning to have yours released before other ones, but no matter. Is to delve into a particular subject that might be of interest to you, and just talk about that a little bit more. And when we were talking yesterday, you said something of interest to you is neurodiversity. So why do you want to talk about that? What interests you about that?
So purely self-interest.
Okay.
All politics are local, right? So it's purely self-interest.
Right, exactly.
My son was diagnosed at the age of 2. He's now 20 with a learning disability. He has been in occupational therapy, speech therapy. He would get extra help in school. He's in college. He gets extra help in college too. But what is neurodiversity to me is the fact that I have a son who I know has a lot to add to the world. And does he think like everyone else? No. He has autism and he has a lot of sensory issues. So things that we think of as fun, and as I've watched him, you know, grow to a young man, things that you take for granted, everybody likes this, that not everyone likes it. But
right,
he brings so much to this, to the table. I think that if we can find ways to make sure that we accept people for who they are, not everyone loves going out and listening to loud music. So if you had a birthday party for a kid and you get the pizza and you have the music and the clowns or whatever, he hated it. He used to hide under the table. We would go to this restaurant called Red Robin. My older son loved it.
Okay. I think I've been to a Red Robin somewhere.
I love Red Robin myself.
Sandwiches, right? Sandwiches?
Burgers. They had burgers.
Okay.
And lots of, never, bottomless fries. When you have kids, bottomless fries are good. And he hated the big clown bird that used to come by and would hide under the table. I'd have to beg the waitress, please don't let that bird get near my table.
Yeah.
He was loud and he was scary. And he, to this day, he thinks he's not doing well at college because, not because he isn't going to class and learning and taking his tests and really getting what he can, because he's not going to parties. And I'm like, that's not the value of college.
Right,
but he doesn't have those social interaction skills. He can't read human faces. So he doesn't know when you're bored or done with a topic. He doesn't get those nonverbal social cues. And so we've had to, we spent years in helping him get coaching. Hold on. Hey! My dogs.
little break to take care of the dogs.
Yes.
This podcast was brought to you by Alpo. They still make Alpo? I have no idea.
I don't. Just gave him a little zap.
Does that remote control work with it? Oh, that was a zapper. Oh,
No, yeah. it emits a very, very high-pitched sound that we can't hear, but the dogs hate.
Okay.
I'm told it doesn't hurt, but I just know one of those, and they're usually stop whatever they're doing.
All right.
Yeah, and so I also know from working, as I said, at the research center, those folks interact differently. I appreciate all that they were able to bring to the table. They thought in different ways. They were able to, they are often very creative when it comes to new solutions because they look at things differently. And that's what we need to solve some of the biggest problems in this world, right?
Right, exactly. So backing up a little bit, we started to talk about neurodiversity. You mentioned the reason your son has autism. Are those synonyms for each other? Is autism a subset of neurodiversity?
Yep. So neurodiversity is, it's like they use the word bell curve, actually, when they're talking about it. So you have, this is what normal is. What the hell is normal? Normal is just what more of us
most
do.
Most common,
the highest commonality. But there's folks on the fringe, anything from ADHD. There's a huge, huge variability in autism. There's a bunch of syndromes out there that you probably didn't know, I didn't know. They're constantly figuring out. So, actually, dyslexia, they consider part of neurodiversity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you did what I do to my wife, and it annoys her greatly, is I ask an either-or question, and she asks an either-or question, I'll answer yes. So, I asked you an either-or question, and you answered yes. So, neurodiversity and autism are synonyms?
No.
Or, so autism is a part of neurodiversity.
Yeah. It's a subset.
Got it. All right. Yep. Very good. Thank you for clarifying that.
In the Venn diagrams. There.
Yep. Yeah, the you know, the idea of everyone's different, everyone's something to contribute. You know, there's a thought I've had for a long time, and I finally recently came up with a pretty succinct way to communicate it, is whatever you think and believe, you're neither unique nor universal. You know, it's not, you're not alone, nor is everyone like you. Now, maybe most people, maybe few people, but, you know, the chance of you being perfectly unique or completely universal, I think, a better chance of being unique than universal, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it just applies to that. So what are some of the things your son is doing in school?
So because of my son's challenges, I know that I have been really lucky, blessed, whatever you want to call it. I worked for a great company that had really good support for me, both for physical and the type of interventions that he could get early in his life. And I credit that and great schools. So he's at college. There are a ton of people at my office that are now identifying as autistic or ADHD. And what they design for is the bell curve, the biggest quantity of people. Mm-hmm. So everyone, and your point is very valid, everyone is not everyone. So yeah, we want to make sure that we have at my office, too, a really good environment for all those folks to bring everything to the table. So when we're, again, solving battery issues or solar power issues or how to make it more economically feasible or what's the infrastructure need to look like, I want the best people to bring that to the world. And so just because I like having music at lunch doesn't mean everyone wants to have music at lunch. So you want to have maybe an area that's fun for folks that want that. And I also want to have a quiet area where they can recharge. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that interviewing, we started off talking about interviewing today. And when you interview, they tell you the typical things. I got to look you in the eye because that means I'm being honest. Doesn't mean you're being honest. It means nothing. And so sometimes my son struggles with eye contact. Yeah. I want to make sure, and we've started, there are advocacy groups that will help you, and we're inviting them in to say, what kind of things should we design, both for physical and neurotypical diversity, that would bring the best talent to the table? So I support my son as much as I can with resources he needs at school. I help advocate for him. I help try to give him skills to advocate for himself when he needs an accommodation, such as he takes tests in a small environment because he finds it very difficult in a big group.
Right.
I advocate at my office. Let's make sure we've thought of what everyone wants, what everyone needs.
Right.
And so everyone can be in a cube farm and be on those conference calls all day.
Right.
I also volunteer for a group here in our community called the ARC of, and it's the name of my town, Katy. I live in Katy, Texas. And I'm on the board there because we have folks that might be getting support and systems through school age. And then when they go out into the rest of the world, they still need support. And so we provide day programs that help folks with maybe disabilities that couldn't maybe be able to attend a college or work, but they still can be a productive member of your community and involved in your community.
Sure.
And yeah, so it's a place I really have put my heart.
Right. Well, and I guess two thoughts. You know, we talked about, you know, there's tough problems to solve, and very often tough problems are solved by just looking at them in a different way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tap into the, and, you know, at brainstormings and stuff like that, you know, it's often recommended to bring somebody in who's not an expert in that area.
Right.
Because they don't have any preconceived notions.
Yeah.
You know, they'll ask some dumb questions, but it's like, hey, wait a minute, that dumb question's actually a really good question.
Challenges you.
Does it happen all the time? No, but it actually challenges you. And so if, you know, if you're the non-expert in our meeting and you ask a question, I've got to explain it to you in a way that you can understand. I mean, you're not an idiot. You're just not, this is not your field. And so that's forcing me to think about it in a very basic elemental level. And, might not be that, you'll make a direct contribution, but just the fact that I have thought about it in a different and very elementary way may help me to see, oh, wait a minute, I never thought about it that way before,
And sometimes you get a bunch of experts in the room, and then you say, well, naturally, we all know that won't work. And you have someone ask that question, well, why won't it work? You know what? I've worked in this area, and we made something similar or parallel work because we did it this way. And then you start to get your m mind broadened.
There was a LinkedIn post I saw not long ago, and I actually reposted it. And in a nutshell, the advice to managers was, don't come up to somebody, especially like 3 o'clock on a Friday, say, "Hey, you got a minute to talk?" Because especially 3 o'clock on a Friday, your mind can go, and I've never been fired, got laid off once. Generally considered, I think, a pretty solid engineer, but when my boss says that to me, I get a little anxious. And one of the replies in the comments was, some guy who was good at his job, and someone gave that, it's like an email from HR at 10 in the morning. Do you have time for a meeting today at 2 o'clock? And this guy said he literally got to the point where he vomited. And at 2 o'clock, they gave him a promotion. A new job and a promotion. It's like, and I thought that was just great advice. And I think not even professional, I think even personally. I mean, just even with my wife sometimes, I'll say, "Hey, you got a second to talk?" And she'll like, go, "Uh-oh, what is it?" No, it's just, "What are we gonna do for vacation this year? Or did you take out the kids from school?" And sometimes it is more serious. But I thought that was great advice. Do you have a minute to talk about the project? Do you have a minute to talk about some new opportunities? And then I suppose if it ever gets to that point where it's, we need to talk, and you leave off that explainer, I know at least have a legitimate reason to go to the bathroom and vomit your guts out. Oh, well, anyways, I wasn't expecting to go that direction, but so be it.
I mean, it is, that's a good point.
As we introduce you, my first female guest, you're also my first retired. So, Engineer Emeritus. So, I need to get your new
Well,
business card that says Engineer Emeritus.
I have just made the decision this week to consult.
Oh, have you? Okay. So, you're
So
PhD
originally my
stuff, yep.
retirement plans were to volunteer, be on some boards to do some work. I'm already on a current board. I've done some board work in the past with some other not-for-profits at the local high school. Done a lot of volunteering on parent boards for different organizations. So I think I can bring a lot to either startups or minority-owned businesses or not-for-profits too. Since then, I've been getting some phone calls from some of the stuff I was doing when I was working, and I've actually started my own little consulting. We're still setting up a website, and we
Okay,
have got
good, good.
gotten to the point finally of an LLC. Got that originally officially registered,
Good. Do you have
and
a company name?
C and I. So the letter C, the ampersand I.
Okay.
Consulting.
There's a meaning behind that?
My name is starts with a C, and my husband starts with an
That
I.
works. That
It's
works.
no
Okay.
deep meaning, just it, 'cause everything that was kind of cool is already taken.
Right.
So
So
we want something simple.
the name of my company is Dexterity, and there is some significance to it. I was just, I think, literally, my wife and I were driving somewhere. She was driving, I was sitting there. All right, I got to think of a company name. And I just, words that I liked, I put in the computer and go to the thesaurus and synonyms. And somehow I landed on the word dexterity, which I think dexterity, a mental dexterity is a good characteristic for an engineer to have. But where the personal application is the road I grew up on was Dexter Terrace. So I like having the little, brings me back home. Ah, oh, isn't that sweet? But the other thing you said,
getting interested in or working with startups. Any particular types, directions? Tell me more about that, please.
So one of the things I'd like to bring to startups, and that I'm currently bringing, and I've brought in the past to other boards I've been on, is business process. So a lot of times a startup will have a great idea or a passion for a topic, and they might not have the business acumen. And I'd love to bring the things that I've learned just through living and through working that, you know, are hang-ups. So a previous board I was on when I was in Illinois, I said, you really should have a purchasing document. And they're like, we don't have time for these big things. And I'm like, no. Just says if it's under $500, you don't need to go get two bids. If it's over $2,000, you need to get two bids. If it's a, I mean, just, it, I don't care what the number is, but some sort of guidelines, because you're yelling at so-and-so because they bought a doormat. It was $50. That should not be something we spend our time on.
Exactly.
If it's $500, okay, go do some shopping. Let's just put some boundary conditions on there and then move on. And as long as you stay within those policies. And I think that, and I've seen it time and time again, people get hung up on the wrong things. They're not really thinking about them, about what the biggest impact is. So we're talking about how they do motor vehicle checks for your driver's license at this Arc of Katy. And right now they have to fill out a form physically, mail it into the state, hope it comes back, hope there's no slow down at the state, and then we have to send it off to the insurance company to get them covered. Well, that takes a lot of time. We found, and you still have to pay the state, and then you have all that extra time, and I have administrative time for the people that work there. We just found for in a package that has training for new hires, it has background checks, and it does these motor vehicle checks for a much cheaper price. Then all the documentation is on one screen on the computer. You know the quality. It's, you know, I think we just estimated it's $500 a year more than the time we spend now.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're looking for, I mean, not necessarily a technical or engineering related startup, maybe just kind of any general one in particular. Is that correct?
I want something that's of interest to me. So for example, we talked about neurodiversity. I would love to support that. That's part of the, I also, you know, anything that's a passion project. Now that I'm retired, I want to do things that I believe in, not just what I've been told to believe in at the company.
Yeah. Well, maybe you know this already, but in case listeners don't know, the local Chamber of Commerce here in Massachusetts, I forget exactly what it was, but when I was starting my company a few years ago, looking to actually make a product as opposed to just consulting, they had, I don't think it was necessarily mentors, but they had resources for new companies like, hey, you know, go to the Chamber of Commerce and, hey, I'm starting a company. And I'd be very surprised if the Chamber of Commerce was not going to point you to a person or a group that wants to help startup companies or even a lot of startup companies. Like, hey, we're growing and, you know, I'm starting to get a little underwater here and somebody help me get my head above water or... Yeah. When is it time for me to exit? That sort of thing. Is that one of the things you've been looking at?
I haven't gone to the Chamber of Commerce to work for them. I've actually gone to the Chamber of Commerce here locally with some questions about what support they have for the board that I'm on. And so they are putting together a program with the local community college on boards. And they're calling it Board Boot Camp. And I'm excited to be a part of that as a receiver. And then I have been thinking, though, that, you know, maybe in a year or two, I'll get a little more confidence and experience and I can be one of the presenters.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. All right. So we've talked about work. We've talked about retirement and not working and then going back to work as consulting. What are some things you do for fun? This is Beers with Engineers. Let's talk about some fun stuff.
Yeah. I love my dogs. I have a ridiculous amount of photos. I was looking on my phone of dogs. Someone was on it, a picture of my son. Like, well, what does your son look like now? He couldn't find one. I have all these pictures of dogs. And that's one of the fun things I found about retirement is I get to walk the dogs. And so we set up little dog walking times. Oh, we're all going to leave at 7:30 and walk the dogs together. And
That's fun.
yeah, I've
Speaking of photos, my kids are probably in like the first or second percentile of having their picture taken. We just don't do it that often.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know the drill. Like your first kid, you
a
pictured every
ton.
single thing. The third kid is like, we'll get a graduation picture. Don't worry about it.
So
What
true.
happens before you graduate? You know, who cares? So,
It's so
anyways.
true. Yeah.
Okay.
And
All
I
right.
also I like yoga. I'm a big proponent of yoga, both for
Oh, good.
fitness and for just helping to de-stress. So I've been doing
Have you been
pretty
doing that for a long
consistent.
time?
I have been doing it for about 15 years,
Okay.
and but with work and travel, you sort of dip in and then you get busy and you might sort of lose focus. So since I've been retired, I've been pretty consistent at like 3 to 4 times a week getting in some amount of yoga.
Now, is that something that, let's say you're traveling a lot, that you could do on your own in your hotel room? Okay. Just need the discipline to do so, I guess.
That's true, but I have been
Yeah.
taking a lot of classes, and then I've just also been getting into the habit where I Google local yoga studios and just saying, I don't care. I'll just show up
Right.
and meet
Exactly. Just walk
people.
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Yeah, I have three boys in high school still, so retirement is many years away. But yeah, I very much imagine doing that is just retiring. And I mean, right now, work as an independent contractor, and so I'm just when people call me or I call them and ask for work, that's when I do work. And I can imagine my retirement will be I'll make fewer calls, but still keep answering the phone. And retirement will be when I stop answering the phone.
Well, my father-in-law, my husband's dad, was that's what happened. He never really officially retired. He just would take less gigs because he
Right.
consulted too.
Okay.
And then he'd say my husband's English, and so then my in-laws would come and spend 2 months here. So those were the 2 months he didn't take a gig.
Yep.
And then he'd go back and he'd say, yeah, we need to be back by the 16th. I'm gonna go work with so and so.
Okay. Yeah. Done.
Yeah, and
It's.
then just took longer breaks in between, and eventually he just said, I think I'm done taking gigs.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I'm gonna stop answering the phone. The benefits of caller ID. All right. Well, I think we're getting close to wrap-up time here. So I have, so you listed a bunch of podcasts. You know what comes now. We have the grab bag questions. I'll find which screen that those questions are on. And so, question, I have 10 random questions, some silly, some less silly. 1 to 10. What question do you want me to ask you?
Six.
Number 6. What is the worst movie you ever saw? Or what is an awful movie? There's one friend of mine hates having to give worse, so I try to say, name a really bad movie. What's a bad movie you've seen?
Reservoir Dogs. I can't stand these sort
Reservoir
of.
Dog. I've never seen it, but I've heard lots of good
I
things
walked
about
out
it.
of it. I've never walked out of a movie, but I also know now not that I don't like these really violent, gory
Okay.
violence movies. Yeah. I can't.
I think the first movie that comes to mind with that one is, I think it was called Forces of Nature. I want to say it was Sandra Bullock and maybe Ben Affleck, possibly. I'm not certain. But it was my wife and a friend of ours. We were watching, and halfway through, it was almost literally painful. I just wanted to leave so bad. I should have just left and waited out in the hallway. It would have been more enjoyable. And so I think we kind of did stay because our friend wanted to see the movie, and we walked out. She goes, "Well, that wasn't terrible." We stayed for a movie that wasn't terrible. Yes, it was.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
the cost of movies now, holy moly. Yeah, I really want to make sure that I'm
Yeah.
invested.
Yeah.
Well, my husband was there, and there was another couple. They loved it. My husband loved it. I fortunately it was one of these movie theaters attached to a mall. I went and got a drink.
Okay. Yeah, I thought my recollection is as generally a well-liked movie. Maybe a little bit of a cult classic, maybe. Again, never seen it, I have no idea what it's about. But, all right, so.
Oh, a lot of people. I can't watch gory movies. I won't even watch, you know, like the Freddy Krueger ones. Oh, I've never even attempted to go.
So, down the other one, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Princess Bride.
Oh, I love it.
I quote that all the time.
Yes, that is very often quoted in our house. My wife has a T-shirt I got her for Valentine's, As You Wish.
That's a nice Valentine's present. I have a mug that says, I do not think that means, that is what it means.
Yeah, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
I also have a T-shirt that says, my name is Inigo Montoya, with like a name tag that looks like my name is, and then it just says Inigo Montoya.
I heard, what's that actor's name?
Terry Hughes?
No, Inigo Montoya. Well, him. I heard that he was like in New York City, and some maybe literally mafia guys came up to him and said, "Hello, my name is Inigo," and he thought he was about to die. And I was like, "Oh, we love your movie." We're like, "What the heck is his name?" Oh
well. We have, again, I'm in Texas, and there's different wildlife here, and there's these nutrias are an invasive species from Louisiana that have moved to Texas, and I have a community I live in has these little man-made lakes, and more nutria have come to live there. Nutria are big rodents. What I have started calling them is rats of unusual size from Princess Bride. And you can tell if they're a Princess Bride fan or not, because if you say R-O-U-S,
they'll immediately know.
And if they don't, they just stare at you completely. What does that mean? It's a great movie.
Very good. Any last comments, thoughts, questions as we wrap up?
No, this was really fun, Bert. When we talked about this at the wedding, I'm like, intrigued. And then you reached out to me, so I really enjoyed that.
It's a lot of fun. And I'm starting to get a tiny bit of traction, and you know, maybe someday I'll make $10 or $20 a month doing this. So all right. Yeah. Well, good, Sherry, this has been fun. And all right, I'm gonna throw one random stupid little bit of this is a connection that we have. So when I contacted Molly a month or so ago, before I contacted you, I said, "Do you have Sherry's email?" And I think I sent her a text. I said, "Do you have Sherry's S-H-E-R-R?" And I'm going, "Is it I-E or Y?" And she replies, "Sherry, C-H-E-R-R-I-E. Her phone number is such and such." So our connection is people like to leave C's out of our names. So my last name is Ushold, U-S-C-H. And often that C is omitted. You probably get that C left out and replaced with an S.
Probably
quite all the time. Guilty as charged. But anyways.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was one last stupid story I wanted to throw in there.
I always tell my husband, I said, "I must have loved you because I took that last name with 4 D's in it." They're always dropping a couple of D's there.
Yeah. Oh, well, my wife, her name is Deanne, and she does not like being called Deanna. And so I said before I married, "Well, Deanne Ushold, you know people are going to think you're Deanna Schold," or something of that nature. And actually, I don't think that has happened too often, but anyways. All right, so we will spend 10 minutes wrapping this conversation up. Sherry, it's been fun. Have a safe trip. And,
thank you.
I will let you know
this
when this
has been great.
All right, very good. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That wraps up today's episode of the Beers with Engineers podcast. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. Please remember to like, subscribe, give a rating, and most importantly, tell your friends, whether they are an engineer or not. I'm happy to have them listen. Any comments and suggestions are welcomed and encouraged. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast or know somebody that you think might be a good guest on the podcast, please let us know that too. Until next time, this is Bert saying goodbye.